Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Good all the time, and I'm privileged to speak to your hearts this morning, and I hope you're so hungry for a good word, because this is what Christmas is all about. Though gifts are beautiful, I just got one. Beautiful. It rings too. But there's so much more to Christmas. Every good gift with me to just celebrate today. Let's pray. Father God, you're the gift and we have every good gift. And the greatest gift ever given to us was your Son, Jesus Christ. And we honor you for that. We ask the Holy Spirit to come. Father, use my words. Use everything I say and do to bring you glory this morning. And may your presence come and meet every heart that's in this building right now. Even the ones that are downstairs ushering, Father God, I just pray that your Spirit will touch each one of us with the true Christmas joy this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm speaking mainly out of text out of Luke 1. But, you know, today is Christmas. It's Christmas morning. Who of you kids have already opened some gifts or all of their gifts? Anybody opened some gifts yet? All right, that's exciting. That's exciting. I hope you really got what you desired, because gifts received are fun. And gift giving for parents and aunts and all that, that's fun too. It's just a fun thing. And, you know, it really comes out of the Christmas story, because God gave the greatest gift to us in Jesus. And then it goes on that Jesus came and he brought gifts and he gave us the Holy Spirit and he gave us revelation and peace and joy and all the things that are found in Christ. And then even the wise guys, you know, they came with gifts. We just sang that. The gold, the myrrh, and the incense, those were wonderful, supportive, great gifts. So it's all about gift giving. There's nothing wrong with it, and I'm glad for that. Today, I want to focus on some other things. So, the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, the truth is, wherever he comes, things change. Whenever Jesus comes into an area of your life, they change for the better. I truly believe there in a lot of life decisions, you know, there's only this way and that way. And we call that way sin, and we call that way godly. And I think a lot of times we kind of wobble around up and down a little bit. And I truly believe when Jesus comes, he helps us see this way. Because in this world, we sometimes get confused and we don't know better, or we do know better and we just can't help ourselves and we go this way. And Jesus came and say, hey, I offer you life or death. Please choose life. Please choose this way. Because he came that we can see that and we can choose up, right? And so so even in the Old Testament, and I preached that, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago when I preached about Daniel 3, about the boys in the fiery oven. Remember that? And I want to go a little bit into it, because it's really important that you can see that God's heart was always for you to return to him. That God's heart was always for you, even in the Old Testament, where the law was in place and people couldn't see the heart of God as clearly, because they were exposed to their own sinful nature all the time. And God's always trying to, through the prophets, to bring them back to who he truly is, not what they thought and or what they lived by. And so in this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is so prophetic. And I cannot just stay with the Christmas story without having told that, because this is so life-giving. So just to recap, since I preached it before, for those who weren't here, the story is about King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a big Babylonian king, and he was powerful and mighty and rich and cruel in so many ways. It was not a good government, but the government was... That was him. He was the king. And so he, you know, controlled everything. But he built a big golden statue. And he said, Papa, everybody come from all the nations, all languages, come and help me dedicate and celebrate this big statue this big idol I made, and then I want to, whenever there's music, whenever there's a lure, the pipes, the, you know, the harp, all the instruments they had, whenever there's a sound of music, I want you to fall down on your knees and worship this new God that I have made and I have erected. Come and celebrate with me. So all the people came, if they wanted to or not, it was... And if you don't, oh, I should not forget this part. If you don't come and worship whenever there's music and fall down and worship this idol, we will throw you in the fiery furnace. That's the end of you, my friend. Wow. So they, the whole nation came around. It was a big dedication. They all fell down and worshiped. But there was three Jewish men that didn't. And so some guys saw these three Jewish men, and they said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, these people you put over this area in Babylon, you know, they're actually higher up. They were slaves in so many ways, but they were very smart, and they were very good at what they did. So they were elevated to higher ranks, and these three guys we saw it, where they did not fall down, and they did not worship what you said they should, and they deserve death. So the king was like, okay, let's bring him in. And he asked him, did you really not bow down? Did you really not do that? And they said, nope, no, we can't. The place of worship is already taken. We can't give what already belongs and is devoted to our God, the God who created heaven and earth. We just can't. I can't. I just can't. And then he said, well, I gave you a chance. You have one more chance. Do it or you're dead. And they said, no. They said, the king said, nobody can save you from my hand if you don't. And they said to him, oh, king, in this matter, you can't tell us anything. Isn't it true that matters of the heart can't be controlled? I can't say, okay, I love you and have nothing in my heart. Right? I can say I respect you, and my actions show so different. So matters of the heart can't be forced. They are inside. They're deep, deep, deep spiritual. And so they said, in this, we don't have to defend ourselves. This is, we believe our God is able to save us. We believe our God is able to save us out of this. But if there's a small chance he wouldn't, we still won't fall down and worship your God. Because this place is taken. This place is taken. This love for God is already fulfilled. They lived out of that. And that was in the Old Testament. They were so incredibly brave. So they did not obey that command. And a controlling, mean-spirited ruler, right, gets mad when he doesn't get what he wants. Controlling people get mad when they don't get what they want. And so he was just like, get that fire 7 times hotter and throw them in there. And so what did they say? Our God, the one we serve, is able to save us from your hand. He's able to save us out of that fire. And if he isn't, we still won't worship your fake God. We still won't follow society's rules. We will follow the heart that has been captured, our heart by God, right? So they were thrown in, and I don't know, that glass furnace must have had a window because the king was watching them. And he leaped off his chair and told all his satraps and all this, you know, people that surround him, said, didn't we throw 3 guys in the fiery furnace? And they said, yeah, we did. The three Jewish boys. And he said, I see four. Four men walking in the fire, and one of them looks like a son of God. And it scared him. And he said, call him out. And so they came out, and I leave a lot of details out if you want to read up on it or listen to the message I preached before. They come out, and not a hair was singed. They didn't smell like smoke. I mean, I can't even walk by a fireplace and not smelling like smoke, right? I mean, have you ever had a fire pit? I mean, you sit there just for a minute, and you're just like, I got to wash it all. It stinks. But, you know, they were in that fire. Not only did they not burn and be dead, but they didn't even smell. Not a hair was singed. And they weren't harmed in any way. And the king saw something that he had never seen before. There's actually action from God. That's the real God. There's life in this. It's not just a dead thing that people make up. So Jesus came into that fiery furnace with them because they said the God we serve will save us. They had a voice of faith. They had trust in God. And God listens to faith. He comes. Whenever Jesus comes and he came, he saves. And he did. He changed their whole life. And not only did he change their life and gave them this unusual favor and unusual breakthrough out of the claws of death, he brought them into promotion, because later in the text it says that the king promoted them. So they were unharmed, unbound, coming out of that hot spot, that problem, and they were promoted. And that's what God does. God doesn't promise us an easy life. Have you realized that yet? Come on now. It's not easy. It always seems like there's something we fight for, or something we fight about. But with God, it's going up from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And in him is victory. But when we go down and we fall and we let our flesh and emotions make the decisions, then we're going down. There's just no other way to say it. By God's grace, we struggle like that. And, you know, going up, the more we know him, the more we let Jesus enter, the clearer our decisions, our heart, and our path will be. And that's a promise from him. So whenever Jesus enters a situation, not just your situation will be changed, but the nation's situation will be changed. I believe in you. I believe in what you, City Park Church people and believers, carry. What you carry is eternal, forever, and powerful. And the more you let Jesus into all those facets of your life, the clearer and the more powerful and the more godly and holy and victorious you will be. That's his promise. Not just for you, but for all the people around you and for our nation and our country. You are that important. And I'm just, you know, this is just the Old Testament story. And the Old Testament story should tell us, when we're in a hot spot, speak faith, speak God, let Jesus in. Because when Jesus comes, there's unusual favor on your life, no matter how the circumstances are, an unusual breakthrough. And I need that every day in my life. And I believe for that. And I believe, actually, we're in a very special season right now. A real season of breakthrough and favor. Breakthrough and favor. And I hope you can grab that today for yourself. Things are changing. Things are changing for the better because you're allowing Jesus to be born into that situation and his revelations and his power and his love. So let's look at the New Testament. See, the Old Testament is so amazing that God already came through, always tried to have the hearts of the people to return to him. But it was, the Old Testament is a dispensation where really we don't learn as much about the heart of God. We learn mainly that people are sinful and they messed up all the time, and they tried or not tried to obey the law. It was impossible, and Jesus knew that, and he said, someday I will come. There will be a day for the Messiah. There will be one that will come and carry the burdens of the sin. There will be one that shows us up and deny down if we so believe. And so prophets, and this story is one of them. For even in the Old Testament, people realized when we trust God, when Jesus comes, a prophetic word, things will change for the better. Promises are yes in Jesus. The promises in the word of God are yes when Jesus came. And so look at that. In Luke 16:16, it actually says the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John the Baptist. The law and the prophets, I have to obey, I have to do this and this and this in order to be accepted to God. All this ended with John the Baptist. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. And then there was a change. There was a change. There was something coming that was better. There was something coming that was better. See, I went skiing last week. Just one day up in Packwood on White Pass. And we couldn't even get on the lift because up on the mountain were 106 miles per hour winds. And they closed it down because, you know, they didn't want a lot of dead people or the ski lift swinging in all kinds of directions. So we could not. We were all in the lodge. Everybody's like waiting, hoping. And finally they said, okay, the wind subsided kind of, and they opened the ski lift. So about 2 hours later, we finally going up. And that day, I'm kind of a bluebird skier, right? Bluebird day. I love blue sky. I love when it's nice, when the snow is soft, and I can just do my little turns and don't hit ice. And you know, I just like to have fun when I ski and not like have to worry about my life safety. But you know, that day was not quite that day. That day was cloudy and extremely windy. So you stood up there and you were actually going down, but it felt like you didn't go anywhere. I'm like, because the wind was so strong against me at times. And it was, you went from the visible to in the invisible, from freezing cold to manageable, and it was just everything. But there were moments when the sun tried to come through. And in that moment, it almost came through. Everything got clear. And there was this weird, beautiful light that just changed the whole atmosphere. Everything seemed to, it was changing. It didn't break completely through, but it was all bathed in this light. And I just looked around. That is so beautiful. I just loved as the sun came closer and closer. And little blue was seen in the sky. And I'm like, I love this. And I just, there was this moment of awe. And I thanked God. I said, this is beautiful, Jesus. And you know what? I think it's like when John was about to come. It was like there's this long period of gray and rain. We know that here in Oregon. And it was like about to change. It was about to change. The sun was about to break through. You could sense it all around you. And it was like that. And the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Something was coming. Since that time, we are in that time now. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. I'm a preacher of the good news. This is good news. We celebrate Christmas morning. Jesus is born. Jesus did come. And so, you know, in that time when John came in Luke 1:5, there was a king, Herod. He was king of Judea, and there was a priest named Zechariah. Who knows the story of Zechariah? So Zechariah was a priest, and he was chosen by lot that he had to do his duty that day. So as the priest came in to do his duty, right, he was a good, it says, it was a good, godly man. Both of them were upright, his wife Elizabeth and him, in the sight of God, but they had no children. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. And Zechariah was on duty in the temple service, chosen to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense, while all those who assembled worshipped and prayed outside. Guess what? Whenever there's people praying and worshiping outside, something supernatural happens. And we see it right here. Something unusual, unusual favor, unusual breakthrough happened right there. An angel from heaven is dispersed, and he carries a prophecy. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. The first thing the angel said wasn't, oh, through you, you will preach the Messiah, and everything will change for out there, the whole world. No, the first thing the angel said, the prophetic word from the angel was like, God heard your prayer. God heard your pain. God sees you. God heard your prayer. I love that. I'm like, God, you are so good. Because sometimes we can't see so far. Sometimes we are self, you know, so bound in our own situation that we can't see far. And God meets us where we are. God meets us where we are. And he says, your prayers have been heard. Your wife will bear a son. Give him the name John. He will be a delight and joy to you. Many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth, and he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Same mission, bringing people back to God, right? He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the disobedient. Come on. Who's been in that category? The heart of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. That's beautiful. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah was like, oh, whoa, hold it. How can this be? I'm old. My wife is old. Tried for a long time. And he was just going on, and Gabriel's just shaking his head. He's like, I was sent from heaven. My name is Gabriel. This is a big deal. This is supernatural. Can you not see it? And he realized that Zechariah was so stuck in where he was. Though he had an upright heart, he was so stuck at where he was that he couldn't grab that promise. And so in his mercy, the angel said to him, all right, I will shut you up for a while because I will make you not able to speak for a while till the promise is here, because you would rip that seed, that promise, right out of the ground. Because promises of God come in seed form. And he was just like, that's not faith. That's not faith. He wasn't like the three guys in the furnace that said, no matter what, we'll serve God, and what he says he will do, he can surely save us. He was just like, how can I be sure of this? And then so in verse 20, it says, with the promise that the angelic message and word will come true at their proper time, he did shut him up and he couldn't talk. He came out and had to write things. But you know what? It says here that the message and words will come true at their proper time. At their proper time. I do believe that every promise from God that you've seen in the Bible for you has a due date. It has a due date. It's coming. Unless you are like ripping it out all the time by unbelief and ripping it out with your words. Ah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It says here, the message and words will come true at their proper time. There's a due date for every promise. Soak those promises. Speak those promises. And believe them, because God is faithful. The next time the angel came was to another young woman in Nazareth, Mary. Another moment of breakthrough for her and the whole world this time. Not just Israel, the whole world. So that encounter changed everything, because when Jesus comes, everything changes. The angel came, and again, he said to her, fear not, because she too was just like, whoa, this is supernatural. I didn't expect this. And he greeted her. Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. And then he said, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child. Give birth to a son. Give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will never end. Mary is confused, unsure in her question. She says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? How will this be? I'm not married yet. How can I be with child? And her question wasn't, how can it be, like Zacharias? She said, how will it be? She was already like, yeah, this will be, but how? I don't understand this. It was not, you couldn't do that, could you? It was, how will it be? There's a big question. We can have questions about God, but it's a good thing to keep it in the realm of possibility, because everything is possible with God, right? As Mary said at the end, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And it says, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And you know, the angel is so kind when she asks, how can it be? The angel explains the unexplainable. Have you ever tried to explain faith? It's pretty difficult. How do you explain that, right? The angel explains the unexplainable because it has to be understood spiritually, with eyes towards the unseen, eyes of faith. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, the angel said, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. That's it. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And I truly believe Jesus, the Son of God, prophesied and prophesied and prophesied. And then it was John's turn to say, he's coming, prepare the way, he's coming. And then he came. And then he came in seed form, life came. And he was born into our world to bring us, again, the message of bringing us back to the Father, bringing us back with a heart that's pure. And only Jesus can do that. Jesus came to forgive our sins and to bring us back to the Father. It was the Father's great pleasure to have Jesus born for you and for me. That when you, even you kids, when you believe in Jesus, he comes. When you pray or cry at night, when something goes wrong, he's there with his peace. He's there to give you answers. He's there with a purpose just for you and for your life, because he knows your name and everything Jesus done to be born. And then even when he went to the cross, he did so you can live and you can be successful and you can be forgiven and you can be free and you can have joy and purpose that you cannot find in this world. Some of us who have tried in this world, it's just not there. It's not in relationship. It's not in money. It's not in circumstances. True purpose and true life is found in a relationship with God. When we know him, we know what life is all about. When we know his love, we're able to love one another without control and without expectations. God is so good. And I invite you this morning to let him into those parts of the chambers of your heart. You might not have let him in, and let him be born in that. And with that, I would love for you to stand up. And let's just invite him together to come with his favor and come with his breakthrough. You know, God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland, or I make fire not to be hot. God can do miracles. God can give you breakthroughs. In the time of my favor, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, City Park Church people and guests, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your Holy Spirit power right now to fall on us. Christmas morning, when Jesus came and entered our lives and changed everything, everything. Father God, we just thank you for forgiveness is possible through the blood of Jesus. And life is possible because Jesus was born into our world. And he took the shame and the guilt and the anxiety and the addiction and the pain and the brokenness and said, I'll take it to be broken. I'll take your pain so you can walk free. Believe in me. Believe in me and I will make you. I'm a son and daughter of the Most High God, to live in a place of freedom, to live in a place of peace, to live in a place of forgiveness, to live in a place of restoration and newness that can only come through faith in Jesus, your Son. Father God, I thank you for revelation right now to be sweet and eyes to open right now in Jesus' name and hearts to receive your goodness and your power and your entering into their hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we honor you, Jesus, this Christmas morning. Come, come, come. Come into our hearts and fill us with your goodness and salvation and favor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to pass out the candles. That was great, great word. And the thing that I got out of it is ripping out your seed by your words. So God shut the mouth of Zechariah so he wouldn't do that. And that's pretty profound, actually. Because life is in our tongue. Life is in our words that we speak. And our words reveal our faith. Hallelujah. So ushers are going to pass out the candles. I'll take one as well, if you can bring one up here.